17. Let's read verse 16. It says, "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation."
Yes. Amen.
To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Yes.
This morning I'm going to be talking about putting on the new man. The Lord spoke something to me the other day, and he was talking about our identity. How many knows that when you become a Christian, the Bible said here, old things pass away.
Amen.
And that old things means everything.
That's right.
You might still be in the same body, but your genealogy has changed.
Amen.
In reality, I mean, the truth is that your genealogy is of God. When you get born again, you, your Heavenly Father is your genealogy. That's where your everything comes from. You know, it's, we look at generational curses and things like this in people's lives, you know, that different things pass down through families and things. But how many knows that in Christ, there ain't no bad curses?
Amen.
In Christ, there ain't nothing bad that's passing down through us. But this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, the degree that you're able to identify with the new is the degree of success you will make in your Christian walk.
Amen.
The degree that you're able to identify with who you really are in Christ is going to determine whether you're a success as a Christian or not.
Praise God.
You know, a lot of people think, well, just as long as I get saved, I just want to make it to heaven. I just want to go to heaven. Well, that's not what God's purpose was.
That's right.
His purpose was to change us into his image and into his likeness,
yes,
in this world, and for us to be a witness of his glory in the earth and in this world today.
That's right.
Glory to God, not just so we could be old sinners and be saved by grace and make it into heaven, but it's so that we can have the glory of God, his nature, his character, living and abiding on the inside of us.
Yes.
But sometimes we forget who we are. You know, sometimes we forget, you know, and I'm going to tell you something, the devil wants to, I hate to even talk about the devil, but when you talk about the enemy, his one purpose he wants to do is to keep reminding you of who you used to be.
Yep.
That's right.
He wants you to keep thinking about what you used to do.
Yep.
How you used to do it. How you bad you used to be, and how this and that. How much fun you used to have a long time ago, and try to bring all that stuff back to your remembrance and think about it. Even when you be listening, driving down the road, and you'll hear a song, and all at once you'll have a thought of, last time I heard that song, I was in the honky tonks.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Then your next thing you know, you're thinking about what you done.
Yeah.
All that stuff that went with it. And you think, well, how did I get way down here? How did I get off on all this stuff? And it all started just from one little thought, one little song you heard, and it set off something in your mind, because there's a real enemy, and he wants you to focus on who you used to be and not who you are today in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. I seen a guy this morning that I stopped at a store, and I seen a guy that I knew, and he don't know who he is. He used to think he was a vampire. Now he thinks he's a woman. He's trying to become a woman. And I was thinking, about this message. He's unhappy with his self.
That's right.
And he's trying to identify with the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And see, sometimes when you're in your walk with God, you might not be happy where you're at, but you start identifying with the wrong thing.
Right.
You start identifying with the natural man. You start identifying with the old things. instead of identifying. But you know what? If you identify with who you really are in Christ, that's where you will find relief. That's where you will find happiness. That's where you find everything that your heart looks for is in the new man. It's not in the old man. It's not in the past. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind,
amen,
pressing forth unto those things that were before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And see, you have to forget the past, even the good things, because the good things will take you back.
Right.
It'll take you back, and while you're thinking about the good things, all at once you'll start thinking about some bad things that went with it.
Right.
You know, and it's just like that. You have to stay focused on Christ and focused on who you really are. When I first got saved, you know, I hadn't been saved long, and I was praying, and I was having to try to overcome the old man and identify with who I was in Christ. And I remember praying a lot of prayers, and I'd be praying and I'd say, God, who am I? I said, Lord, I don't know who I am. Who am I? And I kept praying that prayer. And you know what? God began to show me who I was. As time went on, I began to learn. But you know what? I still don't know really who I am completely. I know partially who I am, but I don't know completely. Because you know what? The more that you know who you are and walk in that, the you go to the next level.
Amen.
How many of those are there when you first got saved? I remember when I first got saved, it was like, man, I was just jumping over hurdles after hurdles and problem after problem. It was like nothing was too big for me. And it was like God was just there in every situation until I got to, you know, I grew to a point. And then it was like, that's where the strongholds, where the devil had strongholds in my life. And when I got to that point there, I slowed down.
Yeah.
And that's where most people do, is that you overcome the little devils, but when you get to those big devils that's been got strongholds in your life, that, you know, then when you get to there, if we're not careful, that's when we start petting them. That's when we start, instead of overcoming them, we just let them live with us.
Yep.
We just let that old person hang on. But I want to tell you something. God wants to get rid of those strongholds. Yeah. For anything that ties you to the old, God wants you to overcome it. Because everything good is in the new man, and everything bad is in the old man. The new man is that person, it's your spirit man that's been born again of God. It's the Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the seed of God abiding on the inside of you. Praise God. It's the holiness of God. It's the righteousness of God. God is righteous in your spirit man. When you walk after that, the new man, you're walking after the righteousness of God. You're walking after who you really are.
Yes.
I remember years ago, I got up, I had to work, and I was working in Birmingham, and I got up one morning to go to work, and I called in. They said we didn't have to work, it rained. And I was a Christian at the time, and I thought, all right, I'm going back to bed. And then I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, I want you to stay up and pray. But guess what? I went to bed and went to sleep. And I didn't obey the Lord. And I slept till about 8:30 and I got up. I was miserable the rest of the day. I didn't feel good. I just had a bad day the whole day. Next day come around and the same thing happened again. It got rained out again. Except this time, I heard the Lord say, stay up and pray. I said, yes, Lord. So I stayed up and prayed and I did what God told me to do. And as I prayed and read the Word, by 8:30 that morning, I was supercharged with life.
Yes.
I was sitting there, just life just flowing out of me, the joy of the Lord. I'm just feeling so good. And I said, this is how I'm supposed to feel.
Yes.
This is me today. That wasn't me yesterday. Yesterday, that was the old man. Today, this is the new man. This is who I am in Christ, because I've followed after this man instead of that man.
Amen.
You know, people are identified by what they do.
That's right.
Carpenter, a man that builds houses is a carpenter. They say, oh, he's a carpenter. He builds houses. Or he's a truck driver. He drives trucks. Or he's a fireman. He puts fires out. Or if somebody is a liar, they say, oh, he's a liar.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's what he does. What you do. Because there's something about what we do that identifies us and locks us into that. And so The devil knows this. And so that's the reason he tries to get you to do things that comes from the old man. To get you to identify with that. Yeah. With what you're doing. See, when you on purpose start doing the things that you know God's wanting you to do on purpose. The Bible says be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
That's right.
See, when you start doing a Christian is a person who is like Christ. It means we're being like Christ. It means we're following after Christ. We're following Him. We're obeying God. We're doing what He's wanting us to do. See, you don't see somebody that says, looks at somebody and says, oh, he's not a carpenter. They say, oh, he's a carpenter. Because they don't call you what you're not. They call you what you are.
That's right.
They call you what you do. You see what I'm saying? And so, it's important what we do. You know, people don't need to look at us and say, he's a liar. Right. They shouldn't do that because we shouldn't do that. That's why the Bible says, speak the truth and don't lie, don't steal, don't. If you're a thief, they're going to look at you and say, he's a thief because that's what he does. Right. You know, but if you are a Christian and you're doing what God's wanting you to do, then they're going to say, he's a righteous person.
Amen.
He's a good man. She's a good woman because she's doing the will of God. It's what you do that counts. It's not what you think. See, a lot of people think that it's what, as long as you thought about doing it, that's good enough.
Nope.
You know, as long as in your mind, in some people's mind, they're a legend in their own mind.
Yep.
You know, it's like they see themselves as a great, mighty Christian, but then they don't obey God whatsoever.
That's right.
You know, and they think, well, you know, I'm just, God knows my heart. Mm. He knows my heart. He knows I don't want to do this, but I do it anyways.
Mm.
You know. Mm-hmm. But see, what we there's something about obeying God. And I couldn't tell you how many times things has changed in my life because on purpose, I decided to do something that I knew God wanted me to do. When I would say, okay, God told me to do this, I'm going to do it. And I would just set out to do it. And then when I start doing it, I remember one day I was at the house and all at once the Lord just put somebody on my heart and said, take him a plate of food. And I went, got some food, carried it to him. On the way there, the Holy Ghost just came on me. Mm. And I mean, touched me so dramatically. I mean, it was amazing what it did to me. See, but by obeying God, by doing what He's telling you to do, what you feel like God's wanting you to do, it brings joy to you.
Amen.
It brings peace to you. It brings good things to your life when you're obeying. But when you disobey, that's, you know, sin is a transgression of God's law. Sin is going against the will of God. It's doing the opposite of what God's wanting you to do.
That's right.
That's why the devil wants you to sin, because he wants to say, you know, you are a sinner because you are sinning. And so therefore you're not righteous. And he wants us to identify with the old man. He don't want us to identify with the new man. Glory to God. How many knows that in Ephesians chapter 4, let's turn over and read. It talks about putting off the old man. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And see, when it's talking about that walking in the vanity of their minds and having the understanding darkened, being alienated, that word alienated means separated from the life of God. What that's talking about is talking about being alienated from the new man. It's being alienated from the life of God on the inside of you. If you walk in the vanity of your mind, it said it can separate you from this life. Now think about that. Walking in the vanity of our mind. If we just let our mind go, just let our mind do what it wants to think and think all the things it wants to think and do all the things it wants to do, it's going to separate you from this life.
Amen.
You have to aggressively work against these things because there's strongholds in our mind. Mm. There's strongholds in people's minds that wants to take you back, When, just when you start serving God, and our brothers testify, when you're seeking after the will of God, you're wanting to do what's right, and all at once it's like the enemy starts deterring you, trying to get you to go a different direction. And you know, you think, well, why is he coming against me so strong right now? Because you're taking ground.
That's right.
When you start taking ground, that's when you get to the place where devils are at, and they don't want you to go no further. And they're going to try to get you to go right back the way you come.
Yep.
I had a vision one time of a guy in my church. And he'd be on fire for God and doing good. And then all at once he'd fall off the wagon and get drunk. And then he'd go good for a while. And then he'd fall off the wagon and get drunk again. And one day I saw a vision. And I saw this man. And I saw him walking down the road, and he down this pathway, and he was happy-go-lucky, and walking down this pathway, going. And I knew the path was the path of God, and he was happy going down this pathway. And there was a demon that was sitting in that pathway, and had his legs crossed, and he had a hand pointed like this. And when he got to that demon, he saw him pointing like this, and he didn't even hesitate. He just turned right on down that road like that. And I thought, why did he do that? And it was because there was a spirit of alcoholism in his life. And whenever he would get to that certain stronghold, when he would get to that place every time, that demon would turn him around. He'd go right back around to where he started. That's why we got to put off the old man. You can't see, this is the thing about it. You got to be careful about even thoughts that go through your mind, because a thought can take you. The Bible says, bring in every thought into obedience to Christ. Because a thought can take you back. A thought can take you back. It can cause you to go backwards and cause you to go down a wrong pathway. And so you have to be careful about what you think.
Yeah.
I remember one time I'd been fasting. And how many knows when you're fasting, it's not good to watch TV when they're showing food?
Right.
You know, and cakes. Every time I'd fast, somebody would bake me a cake. And so one day, I'd been fasting for about 2 or 3 days, and I came home, and there wasn't nobody there but me, and I was hungry, but I had been keeping it. I wasn't watching TV. Every time I'd see a food or anything, I just wouldn't think about it. I just closed my mind. But I was sitting there in a chair, and I looked in there in the kitchen, and I saw a banana sitting on top of a refrigerator. And normally, when I would look at food when I was fasting, I'd just say, I'm not going to think about that. Because I learned that you can't think. See, if you're trying to overcome cigarettes or something or alcohol or drugs, don't ever think about how good it used to be.
Mm.
Don't ever think it. Because if you do, you're hurting your own self.
Yep.
Right.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that banana. And I'm thinking, I thought, I bet you that banana sure looks awful good.
Yeah.
And then when I said that thought, when it went through my mind, all at once, I mean, something hit me, and I started wanting that banana so bad that I thought I was going to die if I didn't get that banana. And I'm telling you what, I jumped up off that chair, and I almost hurt myself getting in the kitchen to grab that banana. And I grabbed that banana off that TV, off that refrigerator. I grabbed that banana off there, and I mean, I was ripping it apart. I was and I ate that banana before I even knew what I was doing. I ate that banana. Why? Because I started thinking about it.
Right.
I started thinking about how good it would be right now to have that banana. Well, see, that's how sin works. That's how the Bible says that every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death.
Right.
See, so what the devil does is he holds something out in front of you, and he tries to get you to think about it and look at it and say, well, wouldn't you like to have that? And then if you ever start thinking on it, it starts creating a desire on the inside of you to take that.
Right.
And then once you do, then it takes you backwards.
Yep.
Glory to God. But you know what? The Bible said, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
You know what? You can delight yourself in God, and you can start just praising God and delighting yourself in all the goodness of God, and just loving God and thanking God. And you know what? He'll start causing the desires of your heart to come to pass.
Amen.
I mean, things that you're desiring will begin to come into your life. God will begin to bless you. It works in reverse.
Yeah.
You lust after fleshly things, It brings bad things into your life. But when you begin to praise God and you desire spiritual things, you desire good things, God will cause those. He'll put a desire inside of you for something and then give it to you.
Right.
Glory to God. But in reality, the truth is that in the new man, if you can believe it, every stronghold is already broken.
That's right.
Amen.
Every stronghold is already broken. It's drug addiction, alcohol, cigarette, it don't matter what it is. It's already broken in Christ, if you can believe it. The Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are dead and you're free from sin. The old man is dead. It ain't got no power over you anymore. And whenever you are dead to sin, you're alive unto God.
Yes.
Glory to God. And I remember one time I was having a baptismal service at the church. I'd been gone on vacation the week before this, and there was a lady got saved that Sunday while I wasn't there. She came to church and went to the altar and gave her heart to the Lord. The next Sunday I was going to have a baptismal service, and this new lady that I didn't know said she wanted to be baptized. And so we made plans to baptize her and a few other people. And so I was preaching about how that when we become a Christian and we're baptized, that the old man dies and that you're putting on the new man, which is Christ, that you're walking in newness of life. And so I was preaching those things. And then after we had the baptismal service, I come back out. And I was standing out there talking to people, and all at once the Lord spoke a word to me, and he said, there was somebody you baptized tonight has a disease, and that if they will count that disease part of the old, that they will be healed.
Amen.
And so I said, if you're here tonight, and we baptized about 10 people that night, and I didn't really know nothing about this woman at all. And so no one moved for a second, you know, and I thought, well, maybe I missed it. Maybe it wasn't the Lord telling me that. And then all at once, this lady got up, and she comes walking up there, and she said, it's me. She said, I have cancer. She said, I have a tumor inside of me in here. And she said, I'm supposed to go back to the doctor tomorrow. And I said, the Lord said that if you will count this cancer as part of that old man, then you will be healed.
Yeah.
And so we just laid hands on her. Prayed over. She didn't fall out or nothing. Nothing dramatic happened. She went home, told her husband about it. Her husband was an agnostic type person. He didn't really believe in God. And so she had to go to the doctor the next day. And so when she went back to the doctor examined her. And they done an x-ray and stuff on her. Doctor come back in there and he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, have you been seeing another doctor? And she said, no, why? He said, well, the tumor's gone.
Amen.
And her husband was there with her. And remember, he's agnostic. He falls on his knees in the doctor's office, throws his hands up to God, starts praising God. And the doctor said, I want to know, are you seeing another doctor? She said, no, doctor, I got baptized. He said, this ain't got nothing to do with you getting baptized. He said, what happened to that tumor? Are you seeing another doctor? She said, no, I got baptized. He said, I don't hear nothing about it. So then they left and went home. A couple days later, that doctor called her house. And he started talking to her again. He said, I want to know, are you seeing another doctor? What happened to that tumor? And she said, I told you I got baptized and God healed. He said, that's not what happened. He said, furthermore, you just need to get yourself another doctor. And her husband grabbed the phone. He said, hey, if she's healed, she don't need a doctor.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
But and then you know what? I seen this lady 2 years later. She's still healed.
Amen.
And she moved up north. I hadn't heard from her in several years now. But the thing of it was, see, she counted the old. She counted that sickness part of the old. And the thing, it wasn't just for her. I think it was for all of us to realize that God confirmed it by healing this woman when she counted that sickness part of the old, that old man that she used to be. See, the new man's not sick.
No.
There's healing in the new man.
That's right.
And if we can identify with the new man, when sickness comes on us, we don't need to say, oh, this is my sickness. It's passed down to me through my genealogy. You know, my mama had it, my grandma had it, and I guess I got it too. No, that ain't no, that don't work in Christ.
That's right.
See, that genealogy was broken. You're not the same. You're not of the same genealogy of that anymore. Now then, you are of the new. All things have become new,
amen.
And all things are of God and are of Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God. And so that means every stronghold, whatever it may be, a fear of rejection, or whatever sickness and disease, cancer, diabetes, whatever it is, we can claim it in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I thank you that that's part of the old. It's not part of me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am the healed of God. I am the redeemed of the Lord.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, this is the truth. And to the degree that you can walk in it and act like it. How many knows when you really believe something, you got to act like it?
Amen.
When you really believe something, you got to act like you believe it. When you're walking by faith, you have to act like you believe it.
Amen.
Sometimes that's what's lacking.
Yep.
In causing a miracle to take place in our life. You know, because he said in the scripture that faith without works is dead.
Amen.
Being alone. See, you have to have some action.
Amen.
So when you really believe, if you really believe you're a new creation in Christ, you need to act like you're a new creation in Christ. You need to act like you're the healed of God. You're the redeemed of the Lord. You know, and because when I first come back to the Lord, when I got saved when I was 18, and then a year later, I let the enemy sidetrack me back into sin again. And for 4 years, I stayed in sin. And after those 4 years, I came back to the Lord and rededicated my life to God. And when I did, it was like I prayed a prayer of rededication to God. But you know what? I didn't feel like I wanted to feel. And I kept praying. I said, oh, God, save me, Lord. I know I've done everything I could do to rededicate my life to you, but I don't feel saved. I don't feel like I want to feel. And then I started hearing some tapes by Kenneth Copeland. And when I started hearing him talking about that you have to walk out your faith, you have to act like you believe it, you know. And when I started hearing that, I started saying, well, how would I act if I believed I was saved? And I knowed I was saved and going to heaven. I said, I'd probably jump up in the air and keep my feet together. So I jumped up in the air and keep my feet together. And I said, praise God, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. And because I was doing everything I knew to do to walk after God. And you know what? I started acting like I believed I was forgiven.
Right.
And you know what? I started feeling like I was forgiven.
Yeah.
I started telling people about Jesus. I started talking about God. I started telling people about how good God was. And the more I tell them how good God was, the better I felt.
Amen.
You know, and I talked myself into being happy. I couldn't help it. I'd just be telling them how good God was. And it wasn't no lie. But you know what? Because I started acting like I was forgiven. Now, I'm not talking about if you ain't never been saved.
Right.
If you ain't never been saved, you don't need to act like you're a Christian unless you really get saved.
Right.
But if you are a Christian and you backslid and you get away from God, you're going back to your true identity. Right. See, you're going back to who you really are. And that's when you just got to act like it. You got to act like it. You got to act like a Christian. You got to act like you believe it. Glory to God. It's just like when you're going down, if you're just going down a road and you've seen a sign that said, bridge out 500 feet. And you said, I believe that sign's true. And you kept driving down the road and another sign said, bridge out 300 feet. And you said, I believe that sign too. And you go up there to 100 foot, bridge out. You said, I believe that sign. And you went on through there and you ran off the bridge and killed yourself. Could you say that you really believed the sign? See, because if you really believed the sign, you would have made a detour.
Yeah.
See, and so your actions reveals your faith.
Amen.
Your actions reveal your identity. Glory to God. And when you start, if you start believing that you are a child of God, and you start believing you're the righteousness of God, you will see, you'll start to see it when you start acting like it. Glory to God.
Mm-mm-mm.
Look with me to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Now, notice it said here, bring your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. In other words, have action.
Amen.
And be not conformed. Don't let the world mold you.
Right.
Don't let this world system mold your thinking and cause you to think the way it does. Don't let it take you back to the old. Don't let the things in this world, because the world wants to, if you watch TV, the TV is always trying to make you think according to the old man, not the new man. But then it says, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you know that the Holy Ghost will renew your mind?
Yes.
If you walk after the Holy Ghost, if you walk after the Spirit of God, it's really not, you know, we tell people you got to renew your mind, and we tell them you got to read the Bible so you renew your mind. Really, that don't renew your mind. It helps you, but what renews your mind is the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost, when you obey God and you walk after the Spirit, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, how many knows it will renew your mind? When I got saved, I'm going to just give you an example. Before I got saved, I used to cuss a lot. And I tried to quit, and I started noticing how bad I cussed because I started, you know, reading the Bible a little bit, and I started feeling guilty about the way I was talking, and I said, you know, maybe I don't need to talk like this so much, so I'm going to quit cussing. I could not quit cussing. I tried to quit cussing. I tried to renew my mind. I tried to tell myself I don't want to cuss. I'm not going to cuss. And I still cuss. I mean, it would just come out of me. But you know what? The day I went to the altar and gave my heart to Jesus, I got saved. I mean, I knew I was saved. But you know what happened? When I got up, I never had another curse word come out of my mouth.
Praise God.
Well, did I renew my mind? See, I didn't renew my mind. I didn't say, oh, I can't cuss. Because I'd already been trying to do that. I couldn't do it.
New creation.
I tried. But see, once I got saved, the Holy Ghost came into me, and He renewed my mind. And all at once now then, I wasn't cussing no more, because it was the Spirit of God had renewed me. And so whenever you are walking after the Spirit of God, it will renew your mind. And what it says here, it says, be transformed. And this word transforms, the word that means metamorphosis. It's what happens when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly.
Amen.
And so there's a metamorphosis take place when you're giving yourself to God and you're walking after His Spirit, you're full of the Holy Ghost, that it starts changing the way you think. You start seeing things from a different perspective.
Amen.
You see things from God's viewpoint instead of from the fleshly man. You know, and you deal with things differently. You know, the Spirit of God will make you, you know, you will want to forgive, and He'll tell you to forgive.
That's right.
He'll tell you to show love to somebody that's being hateful and mean to you.
That's right.
He'll tell you to give somebody money that you don't want to give money to.
That's right.
He'll tell you to do things that when you obey Him, He blesses you. And so, if we want to put off the old man, we've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The Bible, there's a scripture, I didn't write it down, but it says, put on the new man, which is renewed after the image of Him that created him. He said, put on that new man, which is renewed. So if I'm walking after the new man, He's already renewed. He's already thinking right. He's already going to think and do the right thing, but I've just got to walk after Him. See, sometimes we're too full of ourselves. We're too full of our old self.
Right.
You know, when you get too full of that old self, all it does is hinders you and stops you from going on into the fullness of God. That's why it's so important for people to go to church. That's why it's so important to pray and to read the Word of God and to refresh your mind and to worship God and to obey God and to do what God's telling you to do, to be a doer of His Word. Glory to God. Glory to Your name, Jesus. What's in the old man? Sin, strongholds, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, adultery, lying, deception, pride, lust, anger, unforgiveness, sickness, sorrow, pain, past curses from forefathers, generational curses, rejection, bondage, fear. All those things are in the old man. It's not in the new man.
Yeah.
In the new man, there's righteousness, holiness, healing, no curses, forgiveness, and most of all, there's grace and mercy for the new man.
Amen.
There's love and acceptance from God.
Yes.
When you're walking after the new man, you're totally accepted in God. You're not rejected. You're not unloved. The devil is a liar. Glory to God. But we got to go forward. When you start deciding to go forward in God, it's just like when the children of Israel, when they were at the Jordan River, and the river was flooding at the time, and Joshua was praying, and God told them, the priest, to go forward. And the Bible said that when their feet touched the water, that the Jordan River rolled back, and they went across on dry ground.
Yep.
When they went, he told them, he said, go forward. When they went forward, the water rolled back.
Amen.
When you decide to walk after the new man, and you start going forward, and you say, I'm putting off the old. He said, put off the old man, put on the new man. When you start going after the new man, the waters are going to roll back.
Amen.
Problems that's been holding you back for years and years, when you start walking after the new man, it's going to roll back.
Praise God.
God will set you free from strongholds. That's the reason an alcoholic or a heroin addict can get saved, and the next day you don't even want no heroin. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost is in that new man, and he sets you free from all those strongholds.
Amen.
Glory to God. But you got to go forward. You can't go back. And this is what this is one of the things I realized. The least thought that you have that starts making you think about something from the past that ties you to the old man, stop it immediately.
Right.
Stop it immediately. Don't entertain it. Don't sit down and watch a movie about it. Don't sit and think about it and say, oh, this is just nostalgic. Be sick thinking about all these great things I used to do when I was a sinner. You know, used to, when I would be witnessing the people and I'd tell them about all the drugs I did and all this stuff, by the time I got through telling them all that stuff, I'd feel dirty.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, I'd be witnessing somebody and trying to get them saved. And by the time I got through telling them all that stuff, I almost felt like I needed to go take a bath and repent, because it's like I rehearsed all that stuff and went back through it again. And the Lord started showing me that, you know, I was taking some pleasure in telling them about it, you know. So I had to quit. I had to quit telling all the details, you know, and all the things that I used to do. But unless God just told me to tell somebody, it doesn't bother me now. But back when I first got saved, I had to be careful about talking about it too much. And so you have to be careful about going back to the water. Glory to God. I'll tie it later. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads this morning.